CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's one of those mornings, huh? Jesus. Things are freezing all over the place. Things that are not meant to freeze are freezing. All right. Let's get stuck into our day, shall we? Let me introduce you to Lebang, who I met 2 weekends ago, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 weekends ago, I met this woman. She's talented as hell. She introduced me during a, what was it? Would you call it a lecture or like a...
It was like an online lecture.
Yeah, like an online lecture.
One of those, online webinar vibes. Yeah.
Right. Online lecture. And it was all about radio and kind of people who want to get into broadcasting and media and all the rest of it. And I like talking to her so much, I thought she should join us on the show one morning. And then, you know Mbulelo, because he's old and, you know, you've met him a couple of million times. So there you go. There you go. Done.
So, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, man.
Sure. Pleasure. Pleasure. Tell us a little bit about you, because I don't even know that much about you, Lebang. Give me some info. Like, where did you grow up? Like, what kind of life have you had up to now? What do you do? That sort of thing.
Geez, all that interesting stuff. Yeah. I'm literally like one of the few born and raised in Joburg. I don't know what it's like to go back home in the holidays. This is home. This has been home. I grew up loving hip hop music. I went to St. Mary's High School many, many, many eons ago. Don't Google what year it was. Just know that it was a long time ago. I've got 4 kids. I am an entrepreneur. I love radio. I love music. I don't like waking up at 5 a.m. in the morning, but here we are. And yeah, man, I'm a big believer in energies, bro. I like connecting with people, and I like just, you know, learning more and like going to other places and like figuring out how other people live life and what I can take from that and how I'm going to use that to live my life. And ultimately, as cheesy as this is going to sound, I believe in world peace.
Oh, I love
and
that.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, it's like, that's what beauty queens say. That's just fantastic.
Exactly. After I watched Miss Congeniality at the age of 13, I'm like, that's exactly it. That's what I'm going to say for the rest of my life. And here I am.
Well, I think that's very cool. I mean, you know, you sound like somebody who has a pretty decent energy. I just love that about people. Like, you instantly either like or dislike someone based on kind of the energy that they put out. And some people just have a good energy. That's all I'll say about it. It's
thank you.
Yeah, I picked that up the other day. So how did the rest of that that lecture go that we did? Because that was DJ Spoo was there, and I saw who came out after me?
Tando Tabete came. Right. Yeah, she, as soon as you hopped out, she came in. It was so great. There were like 70 people from all over the world logged in. We went on to speak for over 2 hours, just talking about radio and the love for radio. And it was quite something. I won't lie to you. Like, and I was put on the spot. I was telling you, Garrett, that I didn't even know I was going to be hosting. They were like, "Hey, by the way, we need someone to host." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." I thought I was just going to get there and like have to pray. I got there and I was like, "Welcome to this radio interview. It's going to be so hectic." And it was quite life-changing. It was dope, man. I wish more people could open up the industry like that, to be honest. It was nice.
Well, or the industry could even open up more, because I don't think there are that many spaces in radio. I mean, I don't think there ever will be. You know, it's a community level, obviously, that there's a lot more opportunity, but there's no money. And, you know, the number of people who earn a living out of radio, you can probably count on one hand, because that's how it's always been. Even when radio is at its height, it doesn't have that kind of space anymore to accommodate people. But I'm glad to see, you know, that there are places where people are looking after this stuff. And they're doing, interesting things for, you know, for talented young people, because we've got so many of them in this country. We really do. So many talented people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's actually almost a waste. It's a waste that we don't even get a chance. I mean, I hear you when you say, like, radio can't accommodate anyone, but even the business of radio, like the stuff that happens behind the scenes, you never know. You could actually be good at sales and marketing and, you know, find yourself doing that, but still in radio. So
that's,
it's just the chance that counts, I guess.
That's absolutely true. So what are you up to at the moment? What are you doing right now?
Outside of breastfeeding, I'm just like...
you're a mom. I didn't know that.
Yes, I'm a mother of 4, bro. I've got a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old.
You have been busy.
And Yeah, I must say thank you to lockdown 2020. I now have two toddlers. So that's one good thing that came out of it. Uh-huh. Outside of that, I'm really just pushing entrepreneurship, man. I'm really just trying to push my business. I've got a food business, which is really exciting because like cooking's a passion of mine. But so, just beyond that, I'm just trying to...
What's the food business? What's your sort of niche there?
It's called Salabeng Foods, which means, you know, home type of food. So I cook mohodu, manglina, just the kinds of foods that you wouldn't generally find in Joburg North.
Right.
You now can find in Joburg North. So I kind of specialize in that food. Inhlogo, I don't know, Gareth, have you ever tasted inyama inhlogo?
Inyama inhlogo, where's that from? What part of the...
Boo, do you want to maybe help Gareth out here? Just chime in there.
Yeah, I just want to say it's absolutely disgusting, Gareth.
That's the innards.
But it's the head.
The head.
Inhlogo is the head.
Okay, so what is mohodu? Because I always thought mohodu was the sheep's head.
Oh, shame. No, mohodu is the inside.
See, I'd rather have the head than the inside. So inhlogo is the
head. That's what she said.
I got you.
Oh, my word.
I'll tell you what. Like, I went past someone's kitchen once when they were busy making mohodu. And, I mean, that's... If you didn't grow up with that, it's not something that you'll get used to easily, hey?
Sure, but Jesus. If you taste it, like, just, like, taste it and your mind will, like, change. It really will. And I completely understand that the smell isn't, you know... It's not that fruity, but the taste is just—it's out of this world. Like I grew up on it. Maybe I'm just being biased because, like, every Sunday my grand made me eat it. It's just nice, though. Like, you get used to it, but then you start tasting things like steak, and you're like, "Ha!"
Yeah.
And you're like, "Lamb chop? Whoa! Wait, what? You know? That's when it becomes a little bit of a, you know, now I gotta pick, you know. But either way, man, yeah. It's so that's what I do. Obviously offering those kinds of foods in the north of Joburg.
That's great. That's a very clever niche to exploit because people are not...
No doubt.
They can't find that stuff.
Precisely. Oh, fuck. Jeez.
Jesus, it's winter. I mean, give me a break, you know?
Yeah, look, COVID, we see you, hey?
That's COVID. That's exactly what that is. I love frightening people who are really scared of COVID and saying, yeah, no, that's definitely the COVID, you know? And then you watch them back off.
Is that the vid?
No, you watch them back right off. They get the hell away from you. It's a great way. I mean, listen, I've said this from the beginning of COVID. It is great that you can use COVID as an excuse to get other people to leave you alone, even if there's nothing wrong with you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing to do with this. Anyway, so Bulela wants to get straight into the Olympics. Does it start today?
Well, the opening ceremony is tomorrow, but today, sorry?
It's meant to start today. I mean, we don't actually know if it's going to or not.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, it's Japan. It's not Africa. Okay. When they say they're going to do something, they do it.
Okay, yeah, so you're taking them at their word. Okay.
Yeah, this is not the ANC, yeah. This is Japanese have had dynasties for thousands of years. I mean, they had Nagasaki, what, 1950?
And yeah, and they rebuilt the whole place, yeah.
No, exactly. So this is not, this is not Cyril and his team. They got archery and football getting going today. But opening ceremony officially tomorrow, and we're hoping to have one of our very own actually proper medal hopes on the MKT show at 12
o'clock. Who's that, Bulela? Who's one of our medal?
Lawrence hopes? Britton. Lawrence Britton, so one of the rowers.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I've said he's the least useful guy in his family because his father, Springbok rower, his brother, already an Olympic medalist, his mother's a doctor, and he's the only guy without an Olympic or Springbok colors in anything in his family.
Was this individual rowing? Because I always thought rowing was a team sport.
Well, no, I mean, what do they call it? There's the one with two, four, and then the big one with eight, which you often see, which is obviously made famous by Cambridge, Oxford. Mm. He's in the whatever the two people one is.
Okay, I didn't know that there was such a thing. So you've taught me something I didn't have any clue about.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I remember there was like a lot of rowing back at high school, but like really none of us did it. Only like the white girls did it. So.
Well,
no real talk.
I'm obviously not a white girl either. I've never done any rowing. The most I've done is like paddle around in one of those little canoes, and that was not at speed, I can promise you. Oh man. All right. Well, let's hope it all gets underway, because there's still people saying, well, they're not sure that it'll happen because of Corona and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's all these people who are just, there's so many frightened people all over the place. It's just, it's something else. It really is bizarre. I want to play you this quickly. This is this propaganda that I was talking about from ENCA. Remember I said they were doing this terrible piece on how people in my age group are getting vaccinated now, but it was such a piece of packaged propaganda that I'm almost wondering who paid for it or commissioned it, because it's awful. It's like, it's so cringe. Watch this and you tell me if you think it isn't cringe, all right? Or listen to it if you're listening to the podcast, because you'll get the gist. There's like some images of like shows from the 80s and that kind of thing to fill the gaps in your imagination, all right? Listen to this.
Government has extended its vaccination drive to those aged between 35 and 49. More than a million signed up when registrations opened last Thursday. That was a million in one day. Incredible numbers.
That's right. The over 35s now have the power. It's been more than a year of lockdown.
The Brenda Fassie song that he's stealing.
They want to touch somebody.
It's so cheesy. It makes me want to throw up in my hand.
Well, at least we know we're in the right place.
Yeah. I like it. It's going to be a piece of cake.
The A team
is now the V team, a generation determined to get the vaccine.
I'm not sure I'm ready.
Kit, we're partners, aren't we?
Yes.
And you trust me, don't you?
Yes.
No.
Then believe me when I tell you, we're ready. Wish me luck!
Of course, everyone's a little nervous, but remember, you're in the driver's seat. You've been expecting the jab for months. Now it's time to push it. Push it good. Most of us know who shot JR. The real question, did JR get the shot?
Please, I got to stop it because it's just too shit for words. Like, oh, it is so cheesy and terrible. Like, if I produced that, I've produced some hideous TV in my time, I'll admit, but it's usually because guests have gone awry or something has broken down in the studio or something. That someone sat there and made that and was proud of it afterwards is just unbelievable to me. And
someone approved it.
And you should see at the end of the clip, I'm not even going to play it because it's just too uncomfortable for me to watch. And at the end, Sally Burdett is so excited about this clip. It's like you've just played her favorite thing from Pornhub. I've never seen her so excited in my life. Unbelievable. This is what they put out on. This qualifies as news these days. And I know everyone's nervous about the jab. I mean, who's nervous about the jab? The people who are nervous about
the
jab.
From the A team to the V team. Oh, kill me.
See? Now, Lebang, doesn't this go against everything that you were telling people on Saturday 2 weeks ago about how, you know, media's had to become more honest, more real?
No, totally.
More authentic.
Totally. Like, I feel like they literally are force-feeding the people that still watch actual TV bollocks. Yep. Absolute bollocks. And I can get it from an entertainment level. Look, sure, you guys tried to be funny and
quirky. I mean,
that just fell flat.
There's probably a brief that's gone out. And I'm not going to blame Michael Murillo, the guy who put it together, because maybe that's what he was told to do. You never know, right? There's always someone. Maybe management said you got to do this. Maybe it was his idea. Who knows? But that anyone would be enthusiastic about that the way that he was is just, it strikes me as very, very dishonest. That's all it is. And I'm just tired of being lied to in the media. I'm really sick of it. I don't know if you saw Dr. Anthony Fauci being involved in this huge argument with Senator Rand Paul in the U.S. Congress yesterday. I'll see if I can get that clip for you a little bit later, because that's incredible to watch. He's caught lying, Fauci, to Congress, which carries a penalty of like 5 years in jail. and he persists with his lying. So I think we may, if you know, if there's any if there's any bite left in the US Congress, we may even see this old bureaucrat, this fucking liar, Anthony Fauci, go to jail at some point, which would be appropriate because he's the one who's changed his mind. He's occupied every position on coronavirus that you can occupy over the course of the last year and a half, 2 years. He's told people exactly the opposite of what he told them a couple of months ago. At every given time, Anthony Fauci's position on coronavirus has been different to the last time he spoke. And for someone in public health to be that irresponsible, that's just like Zweli Mkhize, who also needs to go to jail for having taken the COVID funds for digital vibes. But, you know, there are still people in the world who believe in government. It's amazing. They still trust their government. I've got to play you something that's totally different and unrelated because I'm sure, Lebang, you must be sick of talking about corona with everybody as well, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm actually like, I've just decided to stop engaging. More importantly, with my parents. Like, I just like, Mom, any more WhatsApp chain messages that you receive, please stop forwarding them to me. I adore you, but I beg you, the Delta, Flauta, Ralta strands, all of that jazz that they make up every 2 minutes, I'm not involved. I'm just not involved. Like, I can't keep up anymore. Like, I cough for 2 minutes, and my mom's like, go isolate. I'm like, okay, lady, have you vaccinated, though? Like,
absolutely. No, absolutely.
Yeah, no.
And you know, the funny thing, just to add one last thing about this vaccination thing, is it seems to me strange that the people in charge and the people in the media, they seem to think that people who have not gone to get vaccinated are either really all stupid, because they assume that those people are stupid, which they may be. In many cases, they may be stupid. They may be just dumb anti-vaxxers, right? So that's possible, but it's not general. And you can't assume that about people. They might have done a calculation in their head and gone, well, you know what? I'm not in a risk category. I'm not particularly concerned about this. It's not going to go away ever, which is the truth, right, Mbulelo? I mean, we're never going to defeat this thing. We're going to be living with it rather than putting it out of business, because it's going to be around. It might be a seasonal thing every year. Maybe those people don't have any underlying comorbidities, and they're not particularly frightened. So they've decided, I'm not going to take the risk. I've already had it. You know, those are possibilities that are outside of the window that media and politicians seem to have on the rest of us. So they're already saying those people are dumb. And then they think the way to get you to do it, if you haven't vaccinated yet, is to bully you through pieces like you just saw now that, you know, that are either deeply childish and irritating or just extraordinarily patronizing. It's like, you need to do this because you're stupid and we can't possibly let you make decisions about your own health, despite the fact that you've been doing that all of your life. You know what I mean? So here's something funny. Here's something totally unrelated. I don't know what this instrument is, and I need someone to help me figure out this instrument. You can check out the caption at the top too, which will make you laugh. But this came up on my Instagram feed yesterday, and I need to know now which country this instrument comes from and what the hell you call it. Never seen anyone play this before. There's got to be someone in an orchestra or somebody who knows this stuff, who listens to us, who can help us out here. But watch this and try to stop yourself from laughing. And if you can get this tune out of your head today, I'll be impressed. It's going to be one of those earworms. Are you ready? Listen to this. That's so good.
That's some impressive stuff.
So basically, it's like a little flute. Maybe it's as long as a pen, and he's breathing into the side of the pen, and then he's got his finger stuck in the other side of it. There's obviously a hole at that end, like a flute would have, and he sticks his finger in and out of it the whole time. And the caption, in case you didn't see it and you were just listening to us, was was something about, you wouldn't know what to do with this pussy if you got it. And then the guy's like, yeah, let me show you.
Hold my beer.
So I don't know where that thing comes from. It's definitely not a flute. It must be some kind of wind instrument. But you got me, or reed instrument even. But you got me if you actually know what it is. I mean, I have no idea. If you've seen that, then I'd be fascinated to hear what it is. Extremely funny. It's like a Turkish flute, maybe, Courtney says.
Yeah, like a backwards flute.
And Anushka says, definitely Kazakhstan. Yeah, well, that's what everybody assumes. Tracy says, Kazakhstan, definitely Kazakhstan. Corona's Boring says he's playing a ported gun barrel. My God. I think all men should invest in one, says Bronwyn.
Yes, Bronwyn's absolutely right. Practice makes perfect. They can start there, and then once they're confident in their skills, move over to the real deal.
Dogozo
like Scientology, says, you upgrade.
Dogozo says,
it's unlock the next level.
It's the caption for me. And then Cabello saying, it's called the pussy pipe, don't you know? Cabello.
Gotta call it what it is.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. Okay, so if you know for sure what it is, I'd be very interested. We've got lots of other comments here, people talking about the 80s, and Martel Mklanga saying that they've definitely made me an anti-vaxxer. I'm glad I'm not part of that generation, cringing after that clip that I played. Millennials for the win, says Courtney. Those born in the 80s would have no idea that what that ad is all about, says Chris. Yeah,
that's exactly. That's the sad truth. Yeah.
That's it's just, ugh, you know, ugh.
To be like, oh, what is this? A freaking time travel capsule back into when we were hot, and literally the message is lost.
Yeah.
Because people are just living in nostalgia. Like,
right.
I don't know, man.
Andre says Fauci is a bullshitting gremlin. Yeah. All right. Very, very good. Eleutheria says, okay, time not to let my 8-year-old listen. Well, what's your 8-year-old listening? This is you've heard our language on this show. You got to be careful here. There can be a tune that you have to learn. Only once you've mastered that specific tune can you move on to the real deal. Ha, ha, ha. That's from Tanya.
True, Tanya, true.
And then Barry's very serious this morning, wants to talk vaccines and says, vaccines not tested sufficiently. Yes, we know, Barry, but that's because they rushed them out because the world was demanding vaccines. So you can't have it both ways. Either we had a vaccine that was 99% effective, which they say these ones are, and there's some possibility that many people will be adversely affected by it, or we didn't have vaccines, and then we'd still be under all those terrible restrictions. Oh, hang on, we are. So I don't see any net benefit for us in South Africa, but I watch these news pieces from Europe and I'm like, wow, these guys are getting back to normal. I mean, they're opening up nightclubs in Britain now, so that sounds like a healthy way to go for me, except of course they're also putting in rules that you have to show your little vaccination card.
Ibiza is fully open, like Boris Johnson's still talking about opening up. A mate of mine's there living large. Listen, I had a mate from Luxembourg yesterday sending me a message of what he's up to. They are actively swapping saliva as a population. Like, there are people who are doing it. There's nobody, like, you know, living in Africa is awesome. Like, it is the best, just because we'll get it done when 2023, and then we'll celebrate, and then the ANC will have tents everywhere, and then they'll, you know what I mean? They'll celebrating the vaccine, and then they'll have a meeting about celebrating it.
Yes, correct.
Folks in Luxembourg,
You're so right.
So, Luxembourg, wide open.
Oh, my God.
That's so nice.
All right, well, a few things on the agenda for this morning, and we'll get to some headlines in about 5 minutes from now. I've got a couple of headline stories to talk about. But before we get to that, I saw, you know, Bulelo, we talked about this yesterday, and I'm glad Lebang is with us this morning because I'd like to hear her comments on this. I saw the Sports Illustrated Swimwear Edition runway show, which they put on yesterday. We were talking about how Sports Illustrated Swimwear Edition has got a trans woman on the cover for the first time, and people were celebrating. And by the way, I looked at the comments on Twitter, the official Sports Illustrated account, and then the comments, they had removed any comment from anyone who wasn't on board with this. So there was not one single, yeah, there was not one single person who was allowed to be funny about it. There was not one person who was allowed to say, well, you know, that's, you know, where did they tuck the junk or anything like slightly amusing. It was all just, oh, praise. And oh, my God, this is so wonderful and so empowering and so marvelous. And it's so great to see such diversity and inclusion and all that shit. So here are the pictures from the runway show yesterday. I actually thought this was an auction that Cyril was attending to buy a new buffalo, because look at this. Some of the broadest ladies I've ever seen in my life, and they tried to disguise this as the Sports Illustrated swimwear edition. Of course, this means that young boys who would have picked up Sports Illustrated and would have been the main target market for this edition will now have to just go straight to Pornhub, because there's absolutely no one in the world. This woman that I've got up on the screen now is, even with her arms outstretched, her hips are broader than the rest of her. And as much as I don't have a problem with that, that is not the kind of body image we should be promoting in Sports Illustrated or as a general sign of healthiness, because it is not healthy, no matter how many times people try to sell it to you as healthy. And here's my favorite one, is a woman in a wheelchair who's a Sports Illustrated swimwear edition model. Now, again, thou dost protest too much. If you want me to fall in love with this, it's not going to work, guys, and it's not working with anybody. What do you make of this? Lebang, what do you think of this? I mean, you're fresh to this. You didn't know I was going to bring this up. What do you say?
It's quite clear that Sports Illustrated is just desperate to be relevant, because there's this hype where it's like, you know, inclusivity and everybody is, you know, a part of us. Which has never been true about the nature of those organizations. They don't give a crap about average Becky and Sister Anne on a wheelchair. They actually don't give a rat's
Sister
ass.
Anne.
And they're just seeing... I don't know. Sorry, I'm dragging all ads out there. Like, they're just seeing this trend. You know, I mean, Rihanna started it with Fenty. I think it was 2019 where Rihanna, you know, released a lingerie, I guess, for bigger girls.
Sure.
You know, and every other brand was like, what? Look how much, you know, of the audience she's attracting. Look all the attention she's getting. We're going to do it too. So all of a sudden, you guys care about big girls.
No.
All of a sudden, you guys care about girls on wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
You guys need to be true to yourself and stop lying. And
look,
I'm not going to hate. I'm all for, you know, the big girl doing her thing. I encourage that. I think if you're confident and you want to be sexy and you want to rock it, baby girl. Nobody's stopping you. But these organizations need to do these things like for real. I mean, the mere fact that they're deleting comments just is quite evident of the fact that it's all a PR stunt. You know, they all sat at a round table and said, how can we trend this year? Well, I know Rihanna did something that, and I mean, it's bollocks. It's bollocks, man.
Some marketing asshole has got in there and said to them, this is the way that you get the headlines. And look, I mean, we're talking about it this morning. Maybe they've succeeded. You know, normally I wouldn't be talking about the Sports Illustrated swimwear edition. When I used to talk about it, was because I was in my early 20s, and I was that was the most exciting magazine in the universe, you know, that you could possibly get. But now I see all this woke shit, and it's so tiring. It's
fake woke.
Yeah, it's fake woke. And do they think we're like that ENCA piece? Do they think we're all stupid and we don't have options? We don't have the internet.
They're counting on us. I can tell you that. They're counting on us.
Look, on the
other side of it, there's probably like a young big girl who gets bullied at school who could see it and, you know, feel better about herself. I think that's the only way to look at it. Like, let's not look at it from the organizational pocket.
I don't try
to find a silver lining.
maybe, but really it's not Sports Illustrated's job to make sure that someone doesn't get bullied on the playing field. It's their job to show us these beautiful girls in bikinis. That's the whole reason they exist. Anyway, I want to show you another clip. This is hilarious. This is obviously from one of our news networks in South Africa. I'm not sure which one. So there's this guy being interviewed. First of all, he's nervous as hell, and he's one of the most inarticulate people I've ever seen interviewed on TV. Try and tell me what he's saying is your first task. Second thing is, this other dude walks up right at the beginning of the clip and stands right there like this guy in the yellow owes him money. And it makes him even more nervous. Have you seen this clip? Oh my God, this is funny.
I think I saw it on the TL.
So you've got to watch this, because I think it was during the Durban, you know, looting and riots that we had last week. So this dude gets so nervous because obviously he owes this other guy money or something. There's something going on here.
Yeah.
You got to watch this.
Those guys definitely knew each other.
They definitely do, right? And that guy, you could see when, as soon as the cameras went off, some real shit went down. Because this guy, I've never seen anyone so nervous. He's trying to block him first, then he stands there. This other guy just moves really close, folds his arms, and looks at this dude who's being interviewed.
Just looks at him.
Look at this. It's hilarious.
Oh, first and foremost, we are used to stay outside. The cause of it, some of the structures, there are like this one. It ends up.
That's the whole clip. He doesn't say anything. I just want to count again the number of times he says two, because he gets really nervous.
Now, I think I know what happened there. Like, it looked as though he was doing the interview, already sort of struggling with the English, and the guy that was creeping up behind him looked like he was coming to rob him. Because out of the blue, there's another guy who comes from the other side, yes. And then there's a third guy. Now there's these three gents around you, and you're trying to do this news interview, and it's late at night, you're in the middle of town, you know you're getting robbed, bro. You know you're about to get jacked, and ain't shit you can do about it because it's happening, and that's that. That's how I swear.
And don't you remember, I mean, like, wasn't it Vuyo Mvogo who was, he was, like, robbed while he was doing a news The guy is actually, while the cameras are rolling, this dude comes up and, like, sticks a knife into the and says, "Hey, give me your wallet."
Yeah, South Africa's so unmatched. Yo, I'm sorry. Unreal.
What do you make of that, Bolelo? Do you think Lebang's story is the best version of that? I think that's probably about right.
I like it. It's my favorite. You know, we live in a world where it doesn't need to be true for us to accept it. You know,
it's so
it's my favorite version, and so it's my truth. You know, it's my truth now.
Yeah, thank you. Live your Thank truth.
You. Your truth.
Speak your truth. All right, beautiful. Yeah. So we've got one or two headlines. Then I want to get to something Lebang wants to talk about. Should she share her credit score before she gets married? This is such an interesting discussion because I'm sure there are girls and guys all over the place who are already doing this. And don't think much of it, but we'll find out what you think about it in a minute. Let me just bring in one or two headlines. We've got to try and be responsible here and actually help people, you know, start their day right. We can't just talk nonsense. So what do you want to know about? I'm going to give you three options here. Do you want to know about China and Microsoft hacking accusations? Not really. Do you? Does anybody? No, didn't think so. Do you want to hear about how you could become a space tourist?
Okay.
Maybe that's a good one. Or a little tech firm that is gunning for an airspeed record. Which one of those interests you the most? Or the Zuma trial. The Zuma corruption trial. You want to hear about that? It's totally up to you.
Yes.
Okay, let's do that as briefly as we can, because the Jacob Zuma trial has been adjourned to the 10th and 13th of August 2021. It means the former president's application for a postponement was successful. Judge Pete Kuhn says the directive on virtual sitting is in effect unless it is revoked. Zuma wants to be physically present in the court, saying a virtual trial will prejudice him. The state argues there is nothing wrong with going ahead virtually. So really, this is about whether or not we can do this in person or whether we have to be in the same room. And I don't know why Jacob Zuma thinks it makes a huge difference to be in the same room, but he won. He won that appeal for a postponement. And so that will happen in the beginning of August. And we'll see his trial go ahead, hopefully. All right. So a couple of people who have some ideas here around what actually happened in that clip. Greg Carolus says, afterwards, they were probably like, "Hey, Simpiwe, you're famous now. Where's my 500, brother?" That's
excellent. Yeah.
All right. So, Cabello says, Mbolelo is on the show. I didn't realize. We haven't had a chance to say very much between me and Lebang this morning. Hey.
Yeah, we have a guest. I'm on every day. You know, you don't. My mother always treats the guest well. You know,
that's it, right?
Sweet. He's can you get the fine china out there?
He's a very well.
No, it's just
very well mannered.
No, in case you get COVID and you don't get to come back. You know what I mean? So we got to treat you well, just in case you get COVID. I don't know what's going to happen out there.
That's a good point.
You got four kids. you got four kids, you might fall over a skateboard and break your collarbone. I mean, I don't know what happens.
That's the way I'll go out, right? Listen,
I don't want to be the news. I just want to report the news. And this might happen to you.
And that is this your truth. Own it.
Oh, so, my God. Lebang, tell me.
Thank you for creating the space.
The safe space.
It's a safe space.
Lebang, tell us about this credit score thing, because you're seeing these couples now, especially, you know, since lockdowns have become a part of our reality. And you have people who hook up for, you know, a couple of weeks. It might become longer. It might be that they have in their head that it's going to be longer, but it ends up being 2 weeks. Who knows? And I think maybe people need to check out what the other person's all about and get as much info as possible instead of just fall in love and hope it all comes together. What's your feeling?
No, 100%. So I just feel as though, like, you know, it's very personal. It's actually my cousin who just got engaged. God bless his dear soul. And he's been dating his girlfriend for like 4 months, and God bless her dear soul. I think they're going to be very happy. I mean, it's the new trend, guys. It's in fashion to meet and smash and date and get married.
Cool. Sure.
But like, you know, I don't know if he's really been honest with her about how he's doing financially in terms of like credit score and in terms of like his debt and stuff. And I'm like, yo, bro, why don't you just kind of be honest with her so she knows what she's getting herself into? And he's just on some, yo, I'm across that bridge when I get there. And I'm like, hey, I don't know if I could do that. Like, do like a screening, you know, like people have social media, like just, I don't know, just see who you're dating, you know? I just feel like it's one of those things that's just going to bite us in the asses in future. Number one, we're following this hype of just like getting married when we barely know people. Number two, what if like you have all this shitty debt? Mm-hmm. Like, that's definitely going to affect me. I just think there's certain things that we need to share with people we meet and like from the jump, from the onset. As crappy as it may sound, you know, you don't want to come there and be robotic about it and be like, okay, this is my name, this is where I went to school, this is the, look, bro, tell me how much money you owe so that I know what I'm getting myself into. So
I think this is so, is so wild. You brought up a couple of things here that I didn't expect. First of all, I anticipated we'd be having a conversation about, you know, a guy who had money and had to acknowledge that so that the girls know that they're after someone who's got some cash. First of all, you're saying it's your cousin and he doesn't have money. In fact, he has debt. So it's not a blesser situation. It's the opposite. And you're actually standing up
for quite the opposite.
And you're standing up for the girl in this case, because you're saying he's not being totally upfront with her. And she may be getting into something where she starts a relationship with somebody who is not only broke, but who owes a lot of money.
I mean, 100%.
That's very heavy. That's difficult stuff. Bulela, what do you say?
Always, I have a rule, and people hate it. Date in your class, financial sort of seichel. You know, I say date in your class. If she's ambitious, you must be ambitious. If she's not, because we've got this thing that's out there now is opposites attract. It's the same people who think crystals mean something, right? Is opposites don't attract. You're a moron. Wow. Find somebody with a lot in common with you and work towards this brutal thing called falling in love every day, which is a choice, and just make it happen. And the money thing is unbelievably important. It is unbelievably important. I'd even say it's the most important, second next to knowing their family. Before you marry somebody, because everyone, I've just seen it in my family where people think you're just marrying the person. Absolutely not. Because for me, I'll tell you a rule. If I meet a girl, I always like to meet their mother because I like to see what I'm going to deal with, because that's what she's going to probably become. I like to look at the long-term prospectus on that.
You're right.
And then I'm like, and then we'll make the call. Personality, and I'll be honest, looks-wise as well. It's like, okay, that's what I'm going to have to be willing to should this go long-term, you know? So I'm totally with, talk about money, people. It's going to, if it doesn't come up early, it's going to come up. But date in your class. I'm sorry. I will not apologize for that. Date in your class and stop thinking you belong with Brad. I'm not going to date Scarlett Johansson. Like, it's going to look ridiculous.
Right.
And she's not going to date you. And that's totally cool. But there's also this thing where people pretend so much. Like, Mulelo, it's easy to act like something you're not, bro. Especially now more than ever. Instagram has made us all believe that we can look like $1 million on a 2 rand budget. You so can't. I can go on your IG and be like, oh my gosh, they've got a Rolls Royce. but we don't know that you've edited the car dealership in the back. And then you can go to someone's house and be like, oh my God, that guy's got a mansion. We don't know that you're visiting your uncle, whoever. So pretending is a big part of a lot of people's daily lives. We downplay how much people pretend. So you can meet someone and you can be like, wow, this chick is really right up my alley, boo. Like, check her out. I just met her mom. She's smashing. Everything's going to be great. She's renting a family, bro. Like, pressure makes people do crazy shit. I'm telling you. I'm sure, like, there's a lot of wild cases where you've just met a person. You're like, wow, this person really feels like it's right. It's right. And then 2 months down the line when they can no longer pretend, yo, you're like, who are you, actually? And it's too late because you signed a wedding, you know, certificate. Yes. And you're knee deep. Well, so it's bigger than that.
There's also these people who... I mean, you bring up how people lie, and it's not just on Instagram, but all over. I mean, I've heard these stories about these guys who have like two families. They have one family in this town, and they have a whole other family in this town, and they manage to keep them from each other. And these women, maybe they only ever meet at the funeral, you know? And they're like, "Who are you?" And she goes, "I'm the wife." And she goes, "But I'm also the wife." And they go, "Huh? We didn't know that you were there." And they're like four kids on either side, so. You do need to check them out. I think that finance is just part of a much bigger package of making sure that you know who you're dealing with. It doesn't mean you have to do a forensic examination of the person. It doesn't mean you need to get on the internet and, you know, pay a private investigator to track them down and follow their every move. I think that's as creepy as hell. But you do need to have some idea of, I agree with Mbulelo, of like where they come from and sort of what their situation is at the moment. And don't be fooled by what they do, what they actually physically have right now, because you don't know how much they're in debt. So apparently, two in every three South Africans does not own the car they drive. I think it's three in every four South Africans still owe the bank money on their property if they have a property. So that means the chances of you meeting someone who actually doesn't have any of that stuff going for them very, very big. You don't want to take a chance, right?
No.
Not with marriage. No.
But you know what's incredible is people don't actually take that vetting process seriously, right?
No.
But my God, buying a pair of shoes. You ever seen people buying shoes? They'll go to eight stores and ask the guy if you've imported. Do you have it in this color? I saw Rihanna wearing this. They take that sort of, as you said, the performative side more seriously. This should be the most serious thing you can do, getting in a relationship. You should... like a mate of mine, he's German for all the people, has a spreadsheet. Like he has, and I'm not kidding.
Of course he's German. Yeah.
No. He doesn't give it to them.
Contextually,
He's shown me the spreadsheet of if they must measure up on this thing, otherwise they must go. And I think we've always been the same in that sense that for me, there's certain non-negotiables. I don't want to hear how you think, because everybody idealizes themselves. Because what I really want to do is get rid of the romance. Is let me cut to what my Yiddish friends call the tachlas. What are you actually? Not what are you telling me? What are you actually? Get rid of the nonsense and what you think you are. And you want to get down to that. Unfortunately, the only way to do it is the data. And people, by the way, are unbelievably predictable. I know everybody thinks they're special and there are really only four types of people. Let's not bore people with that. You're unbelievably predictable. You can get to it pretty quickly if you don't get it all up in your fields, as the kids are saying, you know?
Well, also maybe we've got to give credit to the blessees then. All these ladies who've been finding themselves blessers, because they go straight for the jugular. They know what they're dealing with. They check out the money situation. This is what I'm going to cost you a month. And if you can't, by the way, there's a very funny clip going around. I don't want to play it because it might have legal implications, but some dude in Cape Town was being extorted by a Maverick stripper, and he recorded it and sent it to a neighborhood group instead of to his lawyer. And it's basically him and the stripper, and he's pleading with the stripper. He's like, "I don't have any money. I really don't have any money." And she goes, "I don't care. You have 3 days. You are a bullshit person." And I'm like, you know, that woman has got her shit together. That stripper knows her worth. She says, "You give me 500. Yeah. She's obviously, you know, a professional extortionist. But she's saying to him, "You give me 500,000 by end of month. You have 3 days. or I tell your wife, or whatever it is that she threatens to do. It's hilarious. And this guy's recording it because now he's obviously trying to prove to his lawyer that he's being extorted. And and the stripper's just having none of it, eh? She's like, where is my money? Not mess around. You are a bullshit person, is what she says. Give me the money. 3 days.
That's hilarious. That sounds like something out of a movie.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that gets resolved, but I'll tell you if I find out any more. Let's turn our attention to Sean Sanders now. He is in Cape Town. It's not him who's being extorted by the stripper, I promise. And it is cold.
Allegedly. Oh, we don't know that.
Allegedly.
We don't know that.
That's also true.
Sean.
Allegedly.
We don't know that.
Yeah. Sean, thanks.
City Gareth, you got the intros. Being extorted by a stripper, straight into crypto we go.
Well, listen, Cape Town, you guys, don't expect me to be nice to you because of the shitty weather you've been sending us. I mean, it's been miserable the last week, and apparently we've got even worse coming to us tomorrow and Friday, thanks to you. Western Cape sending us this cold.
You're probably blaming Cape Town. What's going on in Joburg? What's going on in Durban? I mean, we're sitting here in Cape Town, we're being like, well, sorry, just, you know, we'll send you some bad weather. Don't send us any other stuff.
I'm sorry, I'm blaming Cape Town. I'm blaming you personally for the crap weather that we've got.
Yeah, we'll give you that. We'll give you that. Some bad weather, but we'll also give you some fantastic summers. So.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway.
All right.
So there's no stripper extortion happening here in Cape Town. Though,
no, but maybe if the strippers just got into the world of crypto, they wouldn't have to be so gross and so lascivious about things. They could actually have a bit of class when they do this stuff. So let's talk a little bit about the great developments that are happening, because every week we deal with whatever the news is, and it's usually, you know, something that's happened that either makes crypto look great or makes crypto look terrible. But let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on in the world of cryptocurrency, and there's a lot to get into this week. Sean Sanders is the co-founder of Revix, and he's here to tell us about what's been happening this week. Tell us what's going on, Sean. Give us a little general update, and then we can get into some of the specifics.
Yeah, so we saw a pretty big sell-off across the board in crypto this week. And it was quite interesting because we've had a few larger clients of ours start accumulating positions, so start moving a lot more money into the market. Like, we're actually seeing really good inflows, but coming from a few customers. And a lot of the smaller investors, sort of the newbies to the space, are getting freaked out and selling out of their positions. So you're seeing Bitcoin sitting at $30,600. You're seeing Ethereum at $1,800. So, I mean, this is a pretty big decline. I mean, it's more than 50% from the all-time highs that we were at 2.5, 3 months ago.
Right.
But I think, again, it's all about context. I mean, this is the third week I'll be saying this. But, you know, where was Bitcoin 12 months ago? Where was Ethereum 12 months ago? Bitcoin was sitting at $11,000 12 months ago.
Correct.
Ethereum was at $320 12 months ago. I mean, Bitcoin's still up 180%. Since this time last year, and Ethereum's up 460%. So it's all about context, right? If you zoom out over a 2 year period, it's even more crazy, right? And over a 3 and 4 year period, it gets even more ridiculous. So crypto is still this emerging asset class, and it is still confusing. And I guess that's where we come in at Revix, right? We really try and make this emerging area a lot more relatable and engaging, and I guess just easier to understand. But what I'm quite excited to announce, I mean, last week we spoke about USDC,
yes.
Where you could actually buy into this dollar-based product, this dollar-backed cryptocurrency. So this week, Friday, we're going to be launching USD Savings Vaults. So this is a USD savings account based on USDC. So it's this dollar-backed cryptocurrency where you can earn an interest rate that is higher than you can get currently in your South African bank account. So if you invest currently in your South Africa, or you save with your South African bank account, you'll make between, say, 4 to 5% per year. Maybe if you've got a really good money market account, you could get up to 6 or 7%. If you choose our savings product, you can get north of 7%, and that's in dollar terms. So that is something that's really attractive. And we find that, you know, naturally what's going on in South Africa right now, a lot of people want to move their money into something that's a little bit more stable. So these dollar savings vaults are launching this Friday, which we're quite excited about. And we're going to start with
very interesting, because that's a lot more of a secure and safe and conservative bet than it is, you know, to play around with cryptocurrency, because as much as there are ups and downs there, it's a lot more stable if you're backing the dollar in this case. And if you want to buy it in terms of a savings account and get more than you'd get out of your bank here, that's a pretty good deal. So how do you manage to get that deal? Because if our banks can't get that on Rand savings, and the dollar is looking at a pretty strange forecast thanks to Joe Biden printing money, how are you able to get those kinds of returns, Sean?
Well, the thing is that we don't actually. We are connecting you as everyday person to the emerging world of DeFi. So we've spoken about decentralized finance, and we spoke about this about a year ago on the podcast. And I said, listen, watch out. There's a lot going on in this space.
Right.
And there is a lot that's happened, right? Now, the decentralized finance space is essentially trying to uproot the current financial system. It's trying to take out all the financial intermediaries. So when you look in the middle of Sandton, right, and you see these really tall buildings, they all have bank logos on them.
Yes.
Right. Now, that means every single time that you have a transaction or you earn some interest, you know, somebody's taking the money and there's a big building sitting there. I'm pretty sure it's the bank. Right. So what DeFi looks to do is to disintermediate these banks, and it connects you directly with other individuals. So instead of you having a bank, you have a financial application that runs on top of a blockchain. So there's the likes of Compound. There's the likes of Aave. I mean, these are just these are just applications that exist out there, and we connect you to these different decentralized finance protocols. So how it works really in layman's terms is you would say, listen, okay, Revix, here is my South African rands. Great. We take your South African rands, and you can get started with as little as 1,500 rand. Once you've given us that money, you buy USDC, and then you would lock it up in the vault. And what we would essentially do then is go out to one of these decentralized finance protocols and lend that USDC to this protocol. Now, this is just a, when somebody says protocol, it really just means program. So you lend it to this program. This program then goes and lends it out to the variety of crypto investors that are using leverage. And the beauty about this, because that sounds risky, right? But the beauty about this is that if you use leverage in the crypto space, you need to actually have over-collateralized yourself. So you can only borrow, let's say, one Bitcoin if you've got three Bitcoin locked up. And what that means is that, you know, even if you were to default on your one position, you'd still have more Bitcoin locked up. And it's that interest that we are able to then pass along to our customer. So the decentralized finance space is something that we're going to be talking about a lot more on the program over the coming weeks. We'll be digging into these vaults a lot more. And we've got some interesting promotions that we're going to launch on the show as well.
That sounds fantastic. I'm just pleased that you guys are constantly on the innovation curve here, and you're finding people's new ways for people to make their money move in a positive direction. And really, it is hard these days to know where you should put what little money or what huge amounts of money you might have, because people who were super bullish about crypto just a couple of months ago are now not so super bullish. And some people are, you know, for the long term, like you and I, Sean. I mean, we believe that there's still enormous value to be unlocked there. But for those people who are more conservative or who believe that the dollar has got some way to go, those people might want to do this instead. So you can go and see all of this on Revix.com. You can find them on social media. Revix Invest is what you will find their handle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, R-E-V-I-X Invest. And you can go along and sign up for free, verify your ID, add funds, select the bundle of your choice, and diversify your portfolio in cryptocurrencies. And now also US dollar coins. Very, very nice. Sean Sanders from Revix, nice to see you.
Awesome, guys. Thanks very
good
much.
Stuff. Keep
Happy saving.
Keep your cold weather this weekend, all right? No more of that.
You keep your protest this week. Yeah. See you guys soon.
I think you just threw shade at us. Jesus, that was cold. Right?
We're not protesting anymore. Who is these Cape Townians? So lazy.
Look at him laughing. He's laughing. He thinks he's just white.
We are looting now. Keep up, Chief.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean, okay, I apologize. Yeah. Guys.
Looting is the crypto. We're in 2021, Chief. The protests were, what was it? The big banks? That's protesting. We're looting. We're on that new thing now, Sean.
It's a new wave.
I'm more focused on the crypto news, the South African news. I can't keep up, man. It's just too tricky.
Oh, suddenly you don't want to throw any shade at us. I like it. He comes in here. He just throws that in there and then he disappears. All right, Sean, we'll let you go this time.
Right, ciao, guys. It's
okay. Sean Sanders and Revix.com. Okay, so we were talking about disclosing your financial assets or your debts to your would-be partner, and I just thought that was an appropriate time to bring Sean in. That and the stripper story, which is hilarious, right? And now you know that if someone is managing their money better, they make themselves more attractive a proposition. That's all there is to it. I mean, Lebang was right from the beginning when she brought this up.
Absolutely.
It's true. Absolutely. All right. One or two other things that I do want to get to. I love this. You know, there are people who are saying we've got to support local, we've got to support our friends. And you can tell the story, Lebang, but you supported a friend of yours' business.
I did.
And they let you down. Sure. They disappointed you. So this is a bad story. This is not the general rule. Jeez. But it's worth her telling this story, because I'm so sick of people just being, you know, all propagandist about this and like, support local businesses. Small businesses are always better. They're not always better. They can sometimes do a terrible job. And just because they're your friend doesn't mean that they're any good at business, right? You can be friends with someone and you don't have to respect their game.
That's for sure. And I feel like we always get crucified when we don't support them. So a mate of mine, who's ironically also like into podcasting, hit me up and was like, yo, I've started a new business. I can give you sound. I can edit your stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. When I need that service, I'll holler at you. And one of my clients was like, hey, we actually want to do a podcast vibe. I'm like, perfect. I got them into connection, whatever. We sat down, we did the thing. And I'm still waiting for the edited audio. It's been over 60 days.
Yeah.
This guy's been paid in full and I don't know what to do anymore. Cause now I'm looking like a bit of a duress to client who's like, hey, you know, where we at? And I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely still working on it. And then when I hit him up, he's just like got excuses. And it's, I think it's that style of, I've eaten the money. So now why must I still do the work? And it's just, I'm livid. I'm quite upset because it's terrible. Like, you know, I didn't even go into the timeline. Usually I'll go into Twitter and I'll say, hey, does anybody know anybody that can do ABC for me? Please tag someone. And then I usually give people I don't know business because it's easier that way, you know. But I just thought, hey, let me help my homie out. And I'm just being so disappointed. And it's just like, it's gack because I want him to be great, but now it's affecting me.
Yeah.
You know, so like, where do I draw the line? Like, and I don't, you know, I know I'm going to get crucified by Black Twitter if I don't support him. So let me support him, but at what cost? Hey, man, it's just too much. It's too much.
I don't know what to advise you, but that's disgusting. I mean, like, this is actually someone you know and you're trying to help, and then they don't even deliver on half of that. I mean, they haven't sent you like the majority of the stuff, not even half of it. They haven't sent you anything, and you paid up front. So I'm starting to wonder, like, because there are going to be people who say, oh, but you were stupid to pay up front. But that's what you do with friends. You know, maybe the guy really needed the cash in order to get things done. So you pay up front. And then on the back end, you're waiting for your stuff and nobody's delivering. Obviously you won't use this guy again, but there's still the matter of the outstanding material. And now it's making you look bad. It's making you look like you can't stick to a deadline. Meanwhile, it's him.
Precisely. And like, the thing is, when they need the money, that's when they'll phone me like, yo, girl, what's up? I'm desperate. Please help me out. Cut me off. And I'll do everything in my power to make sure that you're okay, to try and encourage you to get the work done so that we can have a good working relationship moving forward. And only to get disappointed. Now, when it's me asking for the work, it's like I'm just doing too much. And, you know, I'm annoying him or whatever the case is. I just wonder, like, to what end, bro? Like, you know, it not only gives like a bad name to me and to you and your business, but in general, when it comes to certain working relationships, I find it hard to now just view you as a friend. How do I like separate that? You know, we're still cool, we're still friends, but like, well, from a business perspective,
I have to say on this point that usually if a friend is not good at keeping social arrangements, so if Willilo and I say we're going to meet for coffee at 9 o'clock tomorrow, and he arrives at 9:30. Generally, I know that he's not the kind of person, unless something, you know, one of those very strange occurrences has happened where things were outside of his control. Let's say that, you know, the his car caught on fire, or there was a big accident on the highway, or something terrible happened, in which case, obviously, everyone's understanding. But usually, if people are not able to honor their social commitments, which are they're much less serious, that gives you an indication that they're not very serious people in business either. Because to me, 9 o'clock means 9 o'clock, even if it's just a friendly coffee. I try to be on time. You try to be on time. We respect each other's time. But there are lots of comments here. I mean, Simba says, this is why I never do business with friends and family. Sure. Eleutheria says,
before you take the next comment.
Yeah.
Sorry. Having been a delinquent myself in my 20s and having done exactly what you've just said to friends of mine, and I was your friend to a few of, and some friends stayed, and they've really, really helped me out throughout life, is, what is your plan now with number one, that person? And then I would say, secondly, are you now more reluctant to help all small businesses? Because I mean, our industry is not big in this country. It's not like it's not like now that you've disappointed this person, you're able to go to 15 other people who'll need your business. Now there's a bit of a reputation and they might pass that on. You know, in this world in South Africa, it's not big. So your mate, and then are you less likely to use big businesses? I mean, small businesses ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess essentially that's the question. You know, the question is like the damage, how big is the damage that has been done? Like, you know, that's it. For me personally, in terms of that guy himself, it's a wrap. But I don't think that it should, you know, deter me from ever, you know, wanting to support small businesses, because small businesses thrive because of, you know, people like me who aren't just going to look at the big guy who's maybe the most professional. I think maybe I'll apply that vetting process with the fact sheets and the spreadsheets. Now that's where that'll come in. Like, is this the right business? Who have they worked with before? Blah, 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 blah. And maybe just like the whole friendship thing, just cut it. Like, don't make that a reason to help me. If somebody's worth the work, let that person do the work. And yeah, I'd say the same for the guy. I hope he's listening, bro. Get your shit together, man.
Yeah, you're ruining it for everybody, dude.
Sorry. Gareth, you made such a good point just now. But my old lady taught me a golden rule if I want to know what somebody's about in terms of just getting to know them. I always like to see what your bedroom looks like. Because my mother always used to say, you can always tell how somebody keeps their personal space. That's what they are. Because that you're telling me what you think of yourself, how you are. Mm. So forget about the superficial how you're kept. Mm. Is anybody who likes to live in a mess? For me, I'm not saying I'm better than you. As they say in relationship breakups, you're great. You're just not for me.
Ooh, okay, we're going to have to end it on that note for this hour. We've got more to come and plenty more of that. I promise. We've got an answer on that instrument that I asked about earlier. We'd have someone in our audience is smart enough to know what that thing was. We'll find out what it's called, and we'll talk about that in a short while. CliffCentral.com. It is a Wednesday morning. It's bright and early. It's 7:03. We're a little bit late this morning in terms of getting to the next hour, but that's coming right up. CliffCentral.com.